Yo, yo, you guys are right now locked in to a brand new episode of That LCP. Now, before I get into the pre-recorded episode, man, I want to tell you guys thank you, give you guys a hand clap, man. You guys out there, man, who stay showing love, who stay supporting your boy, man, supporting your favorite indie podcaster. Now, I got another episode that's on the way, but I figured, you know what, instead of giving you guys nothing this week, I'm going to give you guys an impromptu episode. We're talking about some things that happened in the culture and black society, from Lizzo, from an armed robbery, from almost assassinations at Burger King because the motherfucker was trying to save the customer money. We got some things we're talking about, man. I had an old voicemail I had to get to regarding exes, regarding how would you feel if your family kept in contact with your ex. Ooh. I know it hurts when you move on and the family don't move on. But again, you guys out there, man, who want to support even more, my Cash App is $NYCStory718. My Venmo is Lunchroom Tatapaw. So sit back, get comfortable. We're going to dive into the intro. And then we're going to go ahead and get that episode queued up for you guys. So again, you guys who stay showing love, stay showing support, thank you. Please keep supporting. Please keep sharing on social media, on Instagram, word of mouth, letting people know that that
brand new LCP,
it's exactly where you need to be. Let's get it going, baby.
It's that Lunchroom Chatter podcast, you know? Well, you sit up and think about fucking your girl's best friend, but you can't because your girl's a fighter and she'll fuck you up. This that Lunchroom Chatter podcast where you lay up and think about being a porn star, but you can't because you come too quick, so you got to eat the pussy for 95 minutes. That kind of shit. This that Lunchroom Chatter podcast where you in bed at night thinking about beating your meat, but you can't because you live with your mama. And she busts in the room and say, bitch, get the fuck up. Mama, why you ain't knock on the door first? This that kind of shit where you can be yourself, where you can relax, where you could put yourself into the mind of another nigga. So stay tuned. Let's get this shit popping. Lunchroom Chatter Podcast, baby. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Now, y'all know who it is. Sexiest Man Alive, a.k.a. God's favorite son.
Brand new LCP.
I was bored, so I figured I'd come shoot the shit for a little bit and come talk about a lot of shit that happened this week in media. Now, I don't know if this would be a full. It's some shit that happened in the media, in women's sports. I just want to come on here and shoot the shits and just speak openly about it. Now, I want to start, man, with Iowa and LSU. I want to give a hand clap, man. Great, amazing game. Iowa, which we know, Caitlin Clark, you know, LSU, Flaw J. Johnson, Angel Reese. Two great teams now. They battled on Monday. Great game. Iowa walked away victorious. They are going to the Final Four. Clap it one more time for Iowa. Caitlin Clark dropped 41 fucking points. Now, you guys know, normally I don't talk about sports on this podcast, but I have to talk about this because, to me, just watching it and watching it over the course of like the last year and a half, I think Caitlin Clark, and again, it's not a hot take, but I think Caitlin Clark is going to change the trajectory of women's pay. When it comes to women athletes, again, not getting equal pay because, you know, the WNBA does not generate the same amount of revenue or just money in general. But I feel like Caitlin Clark is going to play a massive part and probably is going to spearhead women athletes getting paid more money, because I believe right now the highest paid player in the WNBA makes, I believe, $280,000 a year. Now, compare that to what the men make, which is, as the fucking ad revenue skyrockets, NBA players make about 50, well, the max players make about $50 million per year and up. And on the flip side, as I just said, the max contract in the WNBA, I believe, is just under $300,000. But with Caitlin Clark being so exciting, being super young, and everywhere she goes, she is must-see TV. Everywhere she goes, people are tuned in. I believe the game on Monday had a women's college basketball record of 12.8 million viewers. Now, I want to keep in mind, because I also want you guys to know that, again, People are going to make it about race. Well, you know, why are you not saying that about Angel Reese? Angel Reese is good. Angel Reese is good, but she's not as exciting as Caitlin Clark. Every single game this year that Iowa has been featured in was a top-rated viewership show. Every game Caitlin Clark plays in, viewership skyrockets. Every arena she has played in this year, home, the visitors' arena, attendance has skyrocketed. It's not the same for LSU when you look at Angel Reese. If you compare when people tune in versus Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, it's not about race. It's simply about the fucking facts of it. Like, she is going to change the whole trajectory of women's basketball, man. And I'm happy and I'm proud, man, because it's going to trickle down to everybody, to all the superstars, to all the great players, because people are seeing now that women can be exciting because she has that edge. She has that swagger. She has that fucking talent to where she step over the half court line and she might pull up from half court and run back like Steph Curry. Like, she got that swagger to make people tune in. Now, we've seen great players in the WNBA, from Tina Charles, from Cynthia Cooper, from Lisa Leslie to Rebecca Lobo, but they have not had this amount of excitement, the edge, the swagger that's going to make people tune in. Like I just said, 12.8 million viewers tuned in for the Iowa game against LSU. And let's say that Iowa does meet South Carolina, who was undefeated. That's going to be a top-rated game. So I want to clap it up, man, for everybody, man, for all the women's sports, Caitlin Clark, the whole Iowa team, LSU, everybody, man. But now to segue from that, man, it's been a lot of shit going on in the media from Diddy. We're going to push Diddy to the end because it's a lot of shit going on with that, man. But somebody sent me a clip the other day, I believe. What's her name? How you say her name? NeNe Leakes. Now, they was in a car, and NeNe Leakes was having a conversation with a man by the name of Carlos King, and they was discussing respectful cheating. Is there a way to cheat, but do it in a respectful manner? Let's tune in right now. Let's see what NeNe Leakes had to say. And I come back. You know, I'm going to give you guys my opinion. Can you cheat respectfully?
Now, respect for cheating, I could deal with that.
You can?
I might. Yeah, because see, look, if I'm here in Georgia and you went to San Francisco for the... I'm saying any city. I'm saying if he went to New York for the weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
What you don't know...
Won't hurt you.
It won't hurt you. However, if you're going to cheat, you need to do it with respect. Now, you
yes.
do. You do need. I don't like people who are not.
I'm going to pause and I'm going to tell you guys right now, she is lying through her fucking teeth, because about 2 or 3 days after that, she made a post and said that she is never going to be the side piece. She's always the main piece. And that's why I always say, fellas, ladies, if you come on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, if you believe what these celebrities say, if you listen to these shits, that's why I always get on people that consistently repost what celebrities say, because they are lying to you. They are simply saying something in the moment that they believe is going to get them the most hand claps, the most views, the most praise. They don't believe that shit, bruh. They don't. And we gonna get to Lizzo later. We gonna get to Lizzo and her fat ass and how she's pissing me off. So ladies, if you love Lizzo, you might want to skip my Lizzo rant, because Lizzo's fat ass is pissing me the fuck off. Because how many times is she going to jump back and forth between, you know what, I'm a big, beautiful woman, I love myself, can't nothing get to me because I'm confident and I'm proud of who I am. But then 5 seconds later, you guys are so mean to me. If only, like, pick a side. Pick a fucking side. She's pissing me the fuck off. But let's finish what NeNe had to say. We know she's lying because. But NeNe, come on, finish telling me the bullshit. Come on, how can a man or a woman respectfully cheat? Come on, tell me the fucking stupid shit. Come on, NeNe.
So these are the ones that aren't respectful.
Yes.
They're talking to the side piece and lying to them. First of all, you already lied to whoever this is on the side. So if you're going to be respectful, you tell that person, you give me 50 feet on my woman. Like, don't ever approach me when you see me with my woman.
So that's the rule.
Number one, you can never approach. I couldn't imagine somebody approaching me. It would just be like, what?
thank you.
What is happening?
Like I said, they laughing, they bullshitting. But like I said, man, when people cheat, people catch feelings. Now, I know people have this weird belief that, you know, when I cheat, I don't catch feelings. You might not catch feelings, but somebody else might catch feelings. Because what might start off as a fling, feelings develop. Because you guys start having sex and you guys start having conversation. You guys may bond in other ways to where now what might have started as a fling, now feelings are developing. And as we all know, men lie and women lie. Like, both parties have been guilty of saying shit like, man, you know what, man? Man, you special. Man, you know, I'm going to leave my wife for you. I'm going to break up with my man for you. Give me a little bit of time and I'm going to come back and I promise we're going to be together. And now when a month go by, 2 months go by, 3 months go by, 4 months go by, and now you haven't left your partner. That's when shit might get messy, because now the person who you thought was a fling, who you gassing up and who you just pillow talking to in the crib, they might decide, you know what, I'm going to fuck up your life. We've seen this shit before, man. We've seen this shit. There was a man, he was married, he was sleeping with a woman, and I guess he was gassing up the woman, telling her, you know, I'm going to leave my wife for you. We're going to be a couple, XYZ, shit like that. But look, here's where it takes a dark turn, because he ended up not leaving his wife, and she got mad. So the side piece, a.k.a. whoever, the side piece got pissed off. She got mad because he decided to not leave his wife. And listen to what happened. So with him deciding to not leave his wife, she decided, you know what, I'm mad, I'm pissed off. And she went and got the wife's number. She called the wife and told on her husband. She said, your husband is sleeping with me. I just want you to know. And tragically, she was murdered. That guy ended up killing her because you told my wife. That's why I say feelings get involved, because she knew he was married. She knew. But she had this belief that, I guess, that she was so special. And again, I'm not victim blaming. But she had this inner belief that she was so special that she was magically going to take this man from his wife. And oftentimes, it don't go that way. It don't go that way, because like they always say, man, sometimes how you get him is how you're going to lose him. If this man is married and now he's cheating with you and now he leaves, like let's say he did leave his wife for you. You think you're going to keep him there if he already showed that he don't value marriage? He already shown that if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to do what the fuck I want. And that's the type of man you want. And that's why I always try to have these conversations and have these dialogues, because she should still be alive. So sometimes, like, people are evil, but you can't put yourself in a position to now be subjected to the potential actions of evil people. Now, sometimes you can't prevent it, but you have to do your best, man. So I want to clap it up for Nene and her bullshit. She talking that fucking lie. You know she lying.
Ooh, you a lie.
But speaking of something that's not a lie, now, you guys know I live in Atlanta, Georgia. But the HIV rates, they're skyrocketing and they're flying up. And Atlanta ranks third in new HIV infections nationwide. So if you are in Atlanta, I want to boot up for that stat. But if you are in Atlanta, anywhere in the 50 state, anywhere in the world, rather, be safe, man. Be careful. Be careful who you lay down with. Be careful who you put your dick in. Be careful who you let go inside you, man. Because like I always say time and time again, people do not get tested. People, they lay down, they have casual sex, they do not get tested. This is from Fox 5 Atlanta. Come on, Joy. Tell me about these HIV rates in Atlanta. Let me know. Inform me.
Saw more than 1,500 new cases of HIV reported in 2021. That's more than twice the national average. Health officials pointed to stigmas around the virus and access to care as ongoing issues contributing to those high numbers. The CDC's most recent data on new cases of HIV paints a startling picture of an ongoing health crisis in the Southeast.
We've seen that HIV is growing in the South and Atlanta.
So like I said, man, make sure you guys be safe. Do not lay down. Don't be reckless, because summertime is coming up. It's going to be nice. The weather going to be hot. I know today in New York, it was a big earthquake. So the earthquake is not going to be there all summer. There's going to be plenty of time to go outside, to have fun, to do some shit. When you have that time, be mindful. When you have that time, just don't end up getting that bump, bump, bump on your coochie, on your pee-pee. Trying to be reckless. Don't do it. So I'm going to clap it up, man, for everybody out there, man. Be smart about who you lay your funky ass down with. Now, there was a man who worked at Burger King who said that a customer tried to shoot him because he tried to give him a better deal on his two food items. Now, boo, nigga. Now, I don't know about y'all, man, but with inflation and prices going up left and right on everything, any worker that can give me a deal, bro, you are not my enemy. You are my hero. Clap it up for the heroes out there. Now, the Burger King worker said that a man showed up at the drive-thru. He ordered two food items, which he normally pays about $11 for. He said that currently there was a promotion, and he got his food items for about $8 instead of the usual $11 that the customer paid. And as we all know, man, sometimes people, I'm talking about people in general, they are sticklers for paying exactly what they used to pay. So, for example, if there's a man, he goes get coffee, and his small coffee comes up to $2.39 every day, and he's been paying for that coffee for about 4 to 5 years, if you give him any price that's not $2.39, the motherfucker might snap because that is what he is used to paying. And I had this conversation on the podcast, I believe when I spoke to my guy Sully, that a lot of people that have guns, a gun is not to shoot somebody or tell somebody you're going to shoot them because they make you mad or because they got on your nerves. Being a gun owner is about self-defense. It's about, I feared for my life, so I had to use this gun. Threatening a worker in the Burger King drive-thru, I don't think that, you know, even goes hand in hand with you feared for your life. The nigga is making you a Whopper. But come on, young black man, tell me what he did to you. Come on, speak to me.
To know that somebody would do something like that just because I'm trying to give you a better deal and just to flip out like that, yes, I mean, it is scary.
This man was captured on Burger King's surveillance cameras. You can see him get out of his car and pull out a gun. 38-year-old Howard Vernon was his target.
I was taking this guy's order, and he ordered like two sausage, egg, and cheese croissants and a sausage biscuit and hash brown. The order came up to $8, and he actually thought it was, he was like, my order can't be right. It came up to, it should be like $11. And I'm like trying to explain to him that we had a promotion going on and like it's cheaper. He started cussing and getting all loud, and I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know why you want to pay more money.
Vernon says after that, the customer sped off, but about a minute later, he pulled back around to the drive-thru window as he was helping another customer. That's when he pulled out a gun and threatened to kill him. Vernon says he also called him a racial slur.
The whole thing like that, just do what you got to do. And he just was kept blurting out racial slurs. It's crazy because it was a older woman that was, like, his gun was on top of this older woman's car. He could have gave her a heart attack, anything.
The incident happened around 9 a.m. at the Willowick Burger King on Vine Street. The suspect was driving a gray Honda and was wearing a gray sweatshirt and a hat. Police say he took off on Vine Street and then turned down a side street. Authorities are still looking for him.
Are you surprised that someone was capable of pulling out a gun?
I'm gonna tell y'all now, like I said, man, motherfuckers are slow. That's why when I go outside, the number one thing I do outside of just simply making sure I mind my fucking business. And I had this conversation in the past on the podcast where I spoke about intervening. If there's a domestic dispute, any type of altercation outside, you have to pick your battles wisely, man, because motherfuckers will kill you. And you'll be in the cemetery, family crying over your grave. And the person who you defended oftentimes will be right back forgiving the person who killed you. So like I said, man, boo the nigga with the gun. What the fuck is you doing, man? What is you doing? Now on to better news. Now, in California, man, thieves broke into the Goddard Armor Truck building. And check this out. They made away with $30 million.
A bullshit.
When I tell you, I see what God does for other people. God, I need you to do some shit like that for me, but it's probably not going to happen because I don't think I'll ever be the person to break into a building and steal $30 million. But to the niggas that got away with the $30 million, look, I'm going to tell you, be smart with the money. First of all, do not spend it right now. Find other ways to offshore, offload, off delete, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Find something else to do with that money, because I'm sure money has serial code numbers and shit to where they can track that money. And as soon as that money is used, they're going to find your ass. But just, it sounds good, man. $30 million. Like, how the fuck did you steal $30 million?
From Sky Fox, a view of a plane warehouse. The only clue of what the warehouse might contain? The armored cars in the parking lot. This is Garda World, offering end-to-end worry-free cash management, according to their website. But even this Garda World employee who did not want his face shown had no idea what was inside the building.
I didn't even know there was $30 million, whatever the amount is in that building. It's just a shocker.
$30 million cash stolen from this building Easter Sunday. LAPD and FBI are working together on the investigation and turned down our request for an interview. But there's been reports that...
All I'm going to say is that they're going to find that money, and I'm curious to see who stole it, because, of course, I don't want to automatically assume that it was an inside job. But that's what I'm thinking, man, because the people broke in the building through the roof. They came out through a side compartment that either was there or a side compartment that was cut. How the fuck you knew how to break in and break out that fucking building and not be seen? It's some sneaky shit. Like, that is some crafty motherfucking shit going on out here, man. But now to speak about something else. Now, I believe a couple weeks ago, might have been last week, I asked the question on social media. The question I asked was, let me see if I can remember. Now, the question I asked was, I said, if you are in a relationship and you break up and you are no longer talking to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whoever, how would you feel if your family still keeps in contact with said person? And again, I'm not talking about simply saying, hey, how you doing every once in a while. How would you feel if your family routinely kept in contact with your former boyfriend or girlfriend, who you are no longer speaking to? Now, would that make you be hesitant in relation to telling your family some details because you know that they still speak to said person? Because oftentimes that can happen, because like I said in the past, man, when people don't have their business of their own to talk about, sometimes they dive into and they start talking about your business. So how would you feel? And as we all know, man, the resident correspondent Sully had something to say. So talk to me. How would you feel if your family kept in contact with your ex, boo-boo?
So in response to the question, I'm cool with my family still being in contact with an ex-girlfriend of mine, obviously after the relationship has ended. I can't help, you know, if they got close and, you know, they still care for her and That's check on fact. Her. But, you know, all this comes with a caveat, right? I mean, it to a certain extent, I think it's okay. You know, if me and the current girlfriend are looking serious, I'm thinking about proposing, or if we're married, then obviously the relationship with the ex-girlfriend.
I want to pause it, man, because that's a fact. And I'm not going to name drop, man, but I knew two friends in the past. I don't no longer speak to them, but in the past, he was dating a woman. He broke up with her, and now the family kept in contact with her. This goes in relation to what Sully is talking about in when he got to the place to where he wanted to marry his girlfriend. Now, his family wanted to invite his ex because they got close to his ex after the breakup. And again, I'm not sure if she came or not, because I stayed out of that shit. But I thought it was super inappropriate, the fact that the family even introduced, hey, I'm going to invite your ex so-and-so because we are cool now, and I just want her to be there. It's not about who you want to be. It's about respect. As Sully said, and see, this is why I like when he come on, when he leave voicemails, man, because he brings up a great point and it sparks my memory, because it is about respect. If I'm dating somebody new, I don't give a fuck if you and this person is besties now. Don't have they ass come to my wedding, ho.
I don't know if it needs to cease, but I mean, it needs to have some severe boundaries up, right? Like, social media presence with her, I think, needs to be at a minimal, if not existent at all.
Bring that shit down.
And, you know, I don't want my current girlfriend or wife having to hear about my sister and my ex-girlfriend going partying together and shit like that. So my brother went through something similar. So he had a long-term girlfriend. You know, families were close throughout high school. Think they dated up until like their junior year of college, and then he broke up with her. Eventually, you know, found him another girl. They got engaged and married, and they've been married ever since. And I remember it was our sister's birthday, and he had paid for a hotel room and like all these different things that come along with throwing a party. He paid for all that out of obviously his income, but you know, he's married, so him and his wife's income.
Shakoa.
Come to find out, my sister invited his ex-girlfriend there, and I mean, they're all on social media shaking ass and shit like that. And his wife had a big problem with that. Like, yo, I mean, you're spending our money so your ex-girlfriend can go have a good time. And, you know, she knows that it wasn't his fault. But, I mean, just like the image of it, I mean, it just doesn't look good. She didn't blame him for it, but, again, that image.
And that's where it can get tricky, man. Because, like, because as Sully said, the husband didn't invite her. The husband didn't tell her to come. But it don't look right. But, again, you can't tell other people how to be mindful because some people just don't have that common sense to where, if my sister is dating somebody and they break up and now she dates a new man and now let's say, for example, I get close to her new man. They decide, you know what, they're going to get married. And because I am cool with him, I show up at his bachelor party. You know, I even may have a hand in throwing it. I'm not going to invite her ex-boyfriend. I'm not going to do that shit because there's the potential for violence. There's the potential just for shit going left. So like I said, man, I understand that sometimes you can't help who you might get close to or who you might have built the bond, especially if two people were together for a long time. But family has to be mindful. And if you are that family, you have to be mindful because you don't want to let the relationship that you built with somebody make somebody else uncomfortable or play a part and that person's new relationship not being on proper footing because you don't know how to have some fucking boundaries, man. So we're going to get that shit out the way. And let's get to Lizzo, man. Lizzo, man. It hates me to even have this conversation because I like Lizzo. I think Lizzo is super talented. Of course, I don't like all her songs because some songs don't apply to me, but I think she is super talented. You know, I think she sounds great. I love when she raps. I think she's a great artist who has many different facets of just being a talented woman. But you need some fucking therapy. And let me tell you why. So the other day, right, Lizzo came out with a post on Instagram. Now, again, her Instagram name is Lizzo Be Eating. Lizzo Be Eating. That's her Instagram name. Now, she posted something and she said, I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. All I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views, being the butt of the joke every single time because of how I look. My character is being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. Again, I want to focus on that last sentence. She said, my character is being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this. I quit. I want to start with some positivity, man, because like I said, man, I like Lizzo. I think she's dope. I think she's amazing. I think she's a very talented, well, supremely talented Black woman. But you cannot come on social media and keep thinking that people are going to be on your side because you have millions of followers online. Does not mean that those millions of followers are there to give you positivity. It don't mean that those millions of followers are there to bring you joy. That's not how the world works. That's why I always say, man, if you don't love yourself, if you're not confident, it's okay to go get therapy. Lizzo is a millionaire. Now, the person who might not have confidence and she lives in the hood or he or she lives in the ghetto and they only got $5 to their name, they probably can't afford consistent therapy. So, yes, there might be times where that person might reach out or use social media or use drinking, smoking or any other gimmicks and antics that they feel like they need to give themselves some inner joy. But somebody like Lizzo, you know, she's too talented. She's worth too much money to so many people to where somebody on your team has to encourage you to get your ass off social media and go get therapy. Go get it. Now, I believe about 2 years ago, Lizzo came out with a documentary on HBO, which I really enjoyed that documentary. You know, it dived into her recording process. It dived into some of her relationship with a man. It dived into even some of the difficulties that she has with self-love. And that's my issue because you cannot come out on social media every other month and say, you know what? I'm big. I love myself. Don't nobody else's opinion matters. But now when there's backlash and now you do something that you thought was going to get you praise, but now you get negativity in return. Now you want to use, you know, I'm big. And oh, when you guys hate me, it makes me want to quit. See, no. Pick a side. Do you love yourself or do you not love yourself? Like, stop going back and forth. Like, the back and forth lets me know that you need therapy. I'm a black man. I'm 34 years old. If the public consensus tomorrow was that every black man on earth is ugly, I'm not going to feel ugly because I know I'm not ugly. I don't need the world. I don't need social media. I don't need any of you guys, no offense, but I don't need any of you guys to tell me that I'm attractive for me to not feel ugly. Because I feel it in myself. I feel it in my spirit inside to where 10 people can say I'm ugly as soon as I step outside. Those is those opinions of those 10 people. Those 10 people don't speak for me. Those 10 people don't represent, and they should not represent, how I view myself in my life. And a lot of times that's what we see, because people, they don't know how to work on that self-love. That's why I always say, man, a lot of people seek out relationships and they use that as a way to give them a boost or make them feel good about themselves. But you have to feel it. You have to feel it about yourself first. Nobody could make you feel great about yourself. Now, it might be a temporary boost, but it's not going to be long term, because the only person that can provide yourself with that long term self-love and inner stability is you. Now, like I said, Lizzo made that whole post and then she said, I quit. Now, anybody reading that would easily take that as I quit music. I quit everything because you guys are pissing me off and you guys don't appreciate me. You guys make fun of me. And why would one think that? Because she said it. That's where the mind game start, because she made the post. You know, she didn't get the best reception from it. And then she came back and said, you know, I didn't mean I quit music. I mean, I quit giving my attention to negative energy. Like, that's not what you meant. Like, stop doing the mind game shit. That's what I'm talking about. But listen to what Lizzo had to say, man. Oh.
I want to make this video because I just need to clarify. When I say I quit, I mean I quit giving any negative energy attention. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting to people. Because I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who is experiencing that negative voice that seems to be louder than the positive. If I can just give one person the inspiration or motivation to stand up for themselves and say they quit letting negative people win.
Okay, Lizzo. Again, I'm happy that she made the post, but that's not what she meant. I can tell you guys right now, that is not what she meant. It's not. Anybody who read that first post knows that is not what. Again, let me read it one more time. Because like I said, a lot of you guys are going to think I'm not hating on Lizzo. I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. All I want to do is make music and make people happy and help the world become a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world does not want me in it. I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views. Again, let's skip forward to the last line. My character being picked apart by people who don't know me and are disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this shit. I quit. And then she put the deuces, the peace out sign. Like, stop it. That's why I say, man, and again, that post did not get the best response. As we all know on social media, they're going to drag you. They're going to drag your name through the mud. They're going to make fun about you, and rightfully so, because of what you put out. You went to the Laker game with a cutout shirt on the back with your ass out. There's kids behind you. What type of response did you think that would get you? What type of branding for yourself did you think that was going to do? You sought out the camera. You waited until the camera was on you. You looked up at the Jumbotron, made sure you was on the Jumbotron, and you turned around and twerked with your entire ass out at an NBA arena full of kids. What type of branding did you think that was going to do for your career. Every time you're on Instagram Live, you strip damn near naked and you twerk. Again, I'm not saying that you can't do that. But if you do that 90% of the time and you post it online, what type of branding do you think that's going to do for you? Especially if you're a bigger woman. People are going to comment on your size, which is why I say you have to work on yourself. Because you can't post shit like that and then just want people to just give you praise and positivity. I'm a man. If I go to a basketball game and I cut out the front of my pants and my whole crotch is showing out the front of my pants, and now people are saying, oh, that's nasty. That's disgusting. Have some value for yourself because there's kids here. What am I supposed to do? Play victim? Oh, you guys are being so mean to me. All I did was have my crotch. Nigga. So I say work on yourself, man. Please work on yourself. Anybody who knows Lizzo, tell her go get some therapy. Again, I like Lizzo. I want her to be here longer. I want her to be here for decades longer. Because like I said, depending on if I'm at the gym or if I'm getting a run on certain songs, when her songs come on, it give me that boost at the gym. Like I said, I don't hate her. She's talented. But simply because someone is black, they're a woman, and they're talented, does not mean that they are exempt from criticism. So again, man, you guys who show love to the podcast, you guys who show love to the LCP, again, you guys who want to support extra, my Cash App is $NYCStory718. My Venmo is Lunchroom Chatterpod. Now, I had planned to get the Diddy, but I think I'm going to save Diddy for volume 2 because it's too long. Like, Diddy might need a whole section. He might need a whole This Week in the Culture volume to himself. So you guys, man, who stay showing love, stay showing support, thank you. Keep supporting me. This podcast is independent. Everything that you hear, that you see, is done strictly by your boy himself. Now, y'all know what time it is. This is that.
Brand new LCP.